We are recording you two times so that, you know, we don't drop off any letter. My phone, the gas phone.
Not our fault. Well, it's always a privilege to be asked to speak. Try to get that where it's like that. Even though I'm only asked to speak when they can't get anybody else to speak, so. So, hey, you got to take what you get, Israel. No, but it's an honor. I'm honored every time I get a chance to speak, and just on behalf of the Lord, you know, I just try to do my best, get interesting topics to talk about, be motivating up here. What you doing, buddy? We got the sonic boom going on now. Okay. Ray's going to fix that. We're having a little few problems with the mics. I don't know, something like that. Wait a minute. But today's message is on a couple things. It's for this new year that we are, that is upon us. It's like making wise choices, you know, especially in this day and time. I mean, it's definitely end times. And making everyday decisions is so important in our lives, especially for the Lord, and seeking Him out to make these wise decisions. And a lot of people aimlessly, the devil's got everybody preoccupied with other things besides the Lord, you know, overactivities or work or stress, or, you know, he's got their minds occupied on other things. And you know, people, millions and millions of people, every day they go about their lives aimlessly doing meaningless things. If you think about it, eating, drinking, and leisure stuff. And I saw this this statement, or this guy did a book on what people do every single day of their lives, and it's pretty unbelievable. Tom Parker is the author of this book. The book is called One Day, Things Americans Do Every Day. So we're going to take a look at a few of the facts that people do every single day from what his book says in America. 108,000 people move to a different home every day in America. 18,000 people every day move to another state. 40 Americans turn 100 every day. And about 5,800 turn 65. And then they forget, and then 8,000 people turn 40 and they forget about their 40th birthday, however that means. Every day people purchase 45,000 cars and trucks and smash up 87,000 cars and trucks. So more than 6,300 people in America every day get divorced, while 13,000 get married. 11,000 people every day get bit by a dog, including the mail carriers. Yep, including the mail carriers. Yeah, this is really ridiculous, these statistics here. Listen to this one. How many of you like pizza? Everybody likes pizza, right? Can you guess how every day in America how much pizza is consumed? Can you get an idea? What'd you say? No. He's got to calculate it in acres. So, you know, an acre is a... Yeah, an acre is... Yeah. Can somebody guess how many acres of pizza people consume every day from what his statistics say? 5 acres? Nope.
100 acres.
Very close. A little lower. Who said 80? Try 75 acres of pizza people eat every single day down here. Can anybody guess how many hot dogs people eat every day? I'd like to just curious, can you just give me a couple? Can anybody guess? And I'll give you a little tip, a little clue. It's in the millions. I'll leave it at that. But can anybody guess how many hot dogs people eat every day? Not 200 million, no. That's oh my gosh. That's taking it. Yeah, that's taking it way out there. 50 million? Very close to rule. You know what it is? 53 million hot dogs. Man, oh man, I hope they're at least good. I mean, I don't know. Guess how many eggs people eat every day? This is more up the road with that. 167 million eggs people eat every day. Jeez, oh Pete. Clucking like a bird. How about 3 million gallons of ice cream every day? And then 3,000 tons of candy. Bottom line is every day we're engaged in endless activity and also making the right decisions. The greatest decision we're going to make in the coming year has nothing to do with where you're going to live and work and eat. The biggest question you're going to face is loving, serving, and obeying God. You know, is that your number one priority? Or are we going to allow our life once again to be swept away by endless activities and concerns of everyday life? Are you going to experience God's blessings or His disciplines? You know, Jesus says not to worry. You know, take no thought of what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on. You know, he says don't worry three times. And if you think about it, when we do worry and stress ourselves out, I was talking to Rue about this down there, it's like, are we going to add another day to our life down here, guys? Does it make any sense? You know, and what's sad about that is some people just can't sleep at night. They're just busy worrying about their money and their bank accounts, or the rich want to get richer, and meaningless hurts that you give to yourself. You know, and it's like, are we thinking about eternity with the Lord and knowing that our home is not here? Every day is a gift. Tomorrow is unknown. Yesterday's gone. And, you know, when we think on them terms, it's like, you know, but the devil, he says, Dan, don't think about the right things to do in life. Think about yourself and think about, you know, your prosperity and think about this. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, you shouldn't be concerned about your daily activities and what to do, but, you know, God's a jealous God. He says, have no other gods before me. Don't make it an idol. If you think about it, people make certain things in life their idol, and that comes before the Lord, and the Lord says, you know, that's not going to happen with me. It's either my way or the highway. And that's why blessings or discipline we can receive, and we're going to learn that this morning on some good passages of what happened to the children of Israel when they disobeyed God. And then we're going to look at some good scriptures, motivating scriptures in Philippians later on about the blessings that God gives to those who listen and obey. Because He loves us. God loves us. He wants a relationship with us. The children of Israel faced the same choices back in the day that we face today. They entered into the promised land, and they would obey God and experience His blessings, or they would disobey God and experience His curses. Take your Bibles, if you have them today, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to look at these choices. Okay, the children of Israel were enslaved for 400 years. And then God sent them 10 plagues against Egypt that forced Pharaoh's hand to let them go. And when God did that, He delivered them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea, and he paved the way for them. And the Egyptian soldiers drowned when the Lord parted the Red Sea. Then they came to the entry point of the Promised Land. And at that point, God came up with a plan. He said, I want you to send 12 spies into the land to see what awaits you, what obstacles you might face. So they sent the 12 spies into the land, and the spies came back with this report. 10 of them said, the land that is before us is indeed bountiful and fruitful, but there are giants in the land. So right there, they had a sense of fear with the giants in the land. They are too many obstacles, and we can't overtake it. This is what they said to themselves. But out of them, the 10, two of the spies said, you know what? Yes, there are obstacles out there. But the same, look at this, the same God that brought us to this point, they said in their hearts, will surely give us the land as he promised. So you had two out of the 10 that was trusting in the Lord. The people chose to believe the majority report. And that is, as a result, they said, we can't do it. And as a result, we're sentenced to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness from disobeying God. You know, what I can't figure out is the one true God who created all things and is verbally talking to you and assuring you and gives you all these things. How do you all of a sudden doubt his word or doubt his trust? I mean, the two out of the 10, you know, knew and believed that. And they would have received that if they would have just trusted and believed what the Lord was telling them. But instead, for what reasons, the fear took over and they did not get the blessings. They 40 years wandering in the wilderness, missing God's blessing. Now the 40 years have passed. Those who disbelieved God have been disciplined. Their lives have been taken. Now a new generation were again on the brink of the Promised Land, and Moses, now an old man, stood before them and reminded them of the choice before them. See, back then Moses was God's mouthpiece. He told them for the last 40 years they experienced God's blessings and curses. And Moses asked them what to do when you want to face God's blessing or curses. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28 says, Moses says, see to the children of Israel, I'm setting again before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandment of the Lord your God. I'll stop there for a second. You know, how do you not listen to the Lord? You know, there's consequences when you don't listen to what he's telling you. When the Holy Spirit speaks inside you, you know, to do right for wrong, you know, he is your guide. That's why we're never take the Holy Spirit lightly at all. It's God the Father, God the Son, and what? God the Holy Spirit that lives inside you and guides you and teaches you. And you pray every day, you want the Holy Spirit, you ask the Lord to have the Holy Spirit strengthen you in wisdom and decisions and how to go about things. He says, I am sending before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you listen to the commandment of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse is if you do not listen to the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn away from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. You know, that's the thing about that time period. You know, they're following other gods, and you know, it's like the Hindus, you know, as an example. You know, I was talking to Rul about that too. They've got several gods. I mean, they go into the you know, their place of worship, and go, do they just, you know, flip a coin to see which one they're going to serve today? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. But they're serving unknown gods and making up their own gods, and it's like talking to trees, and they make these objects that have no breath in them. The Lord's very, very, you know, right on how ridiculous that is when that happens, when they serve unknown gods that have nothing. I mean, it's really, they have it coming, basically. It's real simple. If you want God's blessings, obey Him. And if you want His disciplines, disobey Him. You know? We're going to go 3,200 years later. You and me face these same decisions as we sit here. You know, do we want God's blessings or His discipline? We ask, what are His blessings when we do obey Him? I mean, in our life, it could be maybe material things, yes and no. Sometimes we run so far from the prosperity gospel that sometimes we miss an important truth that God sometimes blesses those who follow Him with, let's say, material prosperity. But material prosperity is not the only blessing God gives. Some blessings could be good and peaceful relationships with people, other people. Another could be protection from evil and calamity in our lives. Another is a peace of mind, no depression or anxiety. You know, everybody deals with, you know, anxiety or depression at one point. But, you know, you think about it, some don't. You know, so some have real peaceful minds, that they live a life free from all that stuff. But like I said earlier, you know, when Jesus says not to worry, you know, you're kind of, when you do worry, you're disobeying what He's saying. You're not really believing what He's saying. You got to get that in your head. It's like, you know, hey, He's got me. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be positive every day. But like I said, everybody goes through that because life will bring you down, and the devil will get in your head a lot of the times and try to tell you, hey, you know, it's always negative. You know, you know, there's never nothing positive. And if he can get you on that level of being depressed and being negative, then you're gonna go with that. It's almost like I heard when I was studying. I'm trying to think. It's anybody hear the law of attraction or something like that? I don't know. It's basically what they think is if you think about it, you'll believe it, and you'll tell yourself that. You know, I mean, it's like, kind of makes a little bit of sense. They say, well, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm not going to lose weight. I'm just going to, well, you're not. You won't. Or you could say, hey, I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to do this and that, and you believe that. Or it's like, or I'm going to get a better job this year. Or you could tell yourself, hey, you know, I'm never going to amount to anything. Well, then you're not going to amount to anything. Telling yourself you're not going to amount to anything. You tell yourself something in a positive way, you know, you're going to do that. And especially when you've got the Lord on your side. You know, the Bible is the best manuscript or of any book on the planet for self-help in anything. Because when you have the Lord, when the Lord is with you, who could be against you? I mean, it's totally true. I mean, as we see the example of the Israelites, when he led these his people out of the land, I mean, he was with them the whole way. I mean, can you imagine actually seeing a sea being parted for them and going through that sea because of him? And then after it was over, they said, well, I don't know. You know, there's giants in the land, and I don't know if we could really... You know, if anything, out of the 2 out of 10 that believed in the Lord, I would figure maybe more than that, but it's shocking to see that only the majority of them didn't believe in the Lord. God is saying, if you obey me with the real reward, obey me, there are real rewards and blessings that you'll receive. Make God first in your life in all you do, and you will be blessed. Or, do you want his curses? As we look at Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at that for the discipline for his children. If we disobey, we see we've just went over what the benefits of trusting the Lord. Now he's going to, he said, He disciplines the ones he loves. Look at Hebrews 12. He says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are punished by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he corrects or disciplines. And he punishes every son whom he accepts. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." You know, because God's trying to raise us up into the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, every day, you know, that's what he's working on in every one of us, in our hearts. He wants us to be like his son. You know, and the people that are, you know, the unbelievers, you know, they're lost, completely lost. But he takes pleasure in disciplining us to make us more like his son every day. And it says here in Proverbs, when it says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Trust in him with all your heart. And lean not unto your own way of thinking or your own understanding. And in all your ways, if you acknowledge him, you know what he'll do? He'll direct your path in life. Isn't that wonderful? You got to acknowledge him in all your, not some of your ways, but all your ways. Pray without ceasing every day. Talk to him. Ask him, hey, is this the right decision in my life to do this? If it's not, Lord, you know, have the Holy Spirit speak to me. Tell me, you know, this ain't a good move. Or should I witness to this person? Or, you know, should I avoid this person? Or, but he gives you that. It's like, you know, in my personal life, when I don't consult him, I just kind of lean onto my own nursing. It's like, I got this. It never works out. Never, never, never. You know, you gotta pray, man. You gotta get in there, man. You gotta pray. You gotta go into your bedroom, get on your knees, talk to the Lord verbally. You say, I'm telling you, you'll feel better. You know, give you the answer. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. You know, if you're dealing with problems at work or life in general or this or that, or maybe a sickness, but always keep in communication. You know, that's what it says here, because he will direct your path. I like this right here in 1 Samuel. Listen to this. 2:30, it says, "Therefore, this is the declaration of the Lord, the God of Israel. I did say that your family and your forefathers' family would walk before me forever." This is what the Lord is telling him. "But now, this is the Lord's declaration," because they weren't honoring him, "is no longer." He says the word, no longer. He's going to do that. And I like these words. He says, "For those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disgraced. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." If you think about it, can you imagine this? God is honoring us. Why? He doesn't have to do that. I heard some good quotes about that. When you kneel for the Lord, he'll stand for you. What an amazing, amazing God that we worship. He's so real. You know, when we honor him, he's going to honor us. You know, but if we don't, he won't. Another great Bible man is Daniel, the book of Daniel. I've been studying that the last couple weeks in the mornings, and you know, he didn't let up at all, man. He was bold, you know. Him and God were like, if I can cross my fingers, like this. I mean, that tight. I mean, his choices, he was presented. Daniel refused to be intimidated. He refused to be intimidated by anybody. He chose to be courageous and to glorify God by this. When we choose to glorify God through our actions and decisions, God is pleased with us, and he blesses us with you know, wisdom, intelligence, you know, whatever. And he makes us great. You know, it's well pleasing to the Lord to do that. You know, making wise decisions is the key in all things. Because God gives us a free will down here. You know, like he gave Satan a free will and all the angels a free will. You know, we're not robots. We're not forced to worship him. We have a choice to worship him or not. You know, as I was thinking about this, and this makes a lot of sense, though. I think of Satan had a free will, okay? God gave him a free will, made him one of the top three angels besides Michael and Gabriel. And I was studying this, and it never dawned on me. I said, why does he hate us so much? What is it that he hated God so much and he hated human beings? Does anybody throw a guess why he hates us so much? And what I'm about ready to tell you makes a lot of sense. And you'd say, okay, now I understand why he hates us so much. I don't know if anybody might come up with that. Anybody got a guess? Ray, you're usually good for a guess. I guess not today, though. No, but listen to this. You know why he hates us so much? Because we can be forgiven and he can't. You think about that. God already destined him to the lake of fire and the angels. Never can be forgiven. No salvation for Lucifer or Satan or the angels. Us, he sees that we can be through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what he hates, and it makes him angry because he knows his destination. He knows he has but a short time down here. He knows that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, okay? And we think about that by God's grace, because we could have been right with him. Just the thought, and he snapped them right out, saying he could be like God. And I'm going to read them I wills again. Just a thought. Now, we're wicked too. We're sinners, but you know what? Because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, we're forgiven. And we have eternal life where Satan has eternal punishment in the lake of fire for forever and ever. And he sees that and he knows that in his heart. That's why he's so wicked down here. That's why he's so deceptive down there. That's why he wants to take everybody he can with him to the lake of fire. You know, that's why he hates us so bad down here. The wicked go to hell. Satan is hellbound. He hates humans. He's turned this world, like the Bible says, into a wilderness. It's a wilderness down here. If you think about it, isn't it? It's like an animal. Satan had the opportunity, but he blew his opportunity when he thought that. Everybody has a choice. You know, we've got a free will. You can come to church, serve the Lord, or not. And when Satan chose not to do that, he said in his heart, and God revealed his heart. We're going to see these five I wills of Satan in Isaiah. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Listen to this lunatic. I will exalt, he's saying, Satan's throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So he at least is humbling himself and saying he can't be like God, but he'll be somewhat like God. Be like the Most High, but he won't be the Most High. So it all started with his pride in his heart. I mean, you know, who knows what went on back then, but war, I mean, that is the first sin, is the sin of pride. And it's like, you know, how anybody, I mean, I don't know. I know he's a brilliant created by the Lord, but I mean, come on, you know, you're going to think you're going to outdo the creator that created you. You're going to really go above that? I mean, Satan's pride got him kicked out of heaven permanently. Again, look at the grace he gives us. Because of sin, he's holy, and he can't look upon it. You know, if you ever read the Bible, God is so holy, he says it three times. Holy, holy, holy. Why is that? He wants us to understand he's a holy God that cannot look upon sin. That's why when people die in their sins without Jesus Christ, they go to hell. For starters, and then they end up at the lake of fire. It's real simple. Is your name, anyone's name that is not written in the Lamb's book of life, is cast into the lake of fire along with the devil and his angels, and God prepared that specific apart for them. Because he's a holy God, and he's a God of awesome grace. I mean, he doesn't have to do this for us, you know. I mean, think about it. I mean, we learned this morning, I mean, just with a thought, he could just start over. Psalm 37 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble," you know, we're going to have problems, you know, like anybody else, "they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Psalm 37, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Commit to making choices that glorify God. Everything is for God's glory, it says in Colossians 3. "But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on" what? The new self. You know, when you're born again and you're a brand new person, why do you want to talk about what he just said? Why do you want to talk about your past and all your bad things and get that in people's minds? Hey, that person's dead and gone. Dead and gone. I mean, I was an idiot, I mean, back in the day. I mean, I don't, when I think about my past, I said, God, thank God the Lord took me and cleaned me up and set me on a solid rock. You know? And then when you do that, you know, people see that. You know, you want to be a good witness. They say, well, why is he so different? Why does he act that way? It's just like, well, it's God. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, he changes the heart. He really does. You know, people don't believe that. They really don't. They just go on living their lives like there's no God. They don't got an answer to nobody when they die. It's really, you know, it's really ridiculous to think that way. But it's like, thank God that I'm storing my treasures in heaven, not on things down here on earth. You know, because that's all, that's what counts. You know, I talked to a Christian buddy, or I haven't seen him in a while, yesterday, and he's got a ministry, he's got a church, I forgot where, Alton. But they do a homeless ministry, a food drive, and we were just talking, you know, it's to the glory of the Lord. Storing your treasures in heaven, not here on earth. That, you know, 1 Corinthians says it good here too. It, you know, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of his creator. That's what he's doing. We are being renewed in the knowledge. 1 Corinthians says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Right? Remember, God blesses our efforts when we what? Obey him. What's that song? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Good. How about Titus 3:2? Speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. I mean, are we going to fly off the handle in the car? And I couldn't believe what I was seeing yesterday. I mean, nowadays it's almost hard not to, but, you know, you're driving down the road and you're trying to, you know, drive the car. Now I'm seeing people, I was telling Dan, they're driving the car down the expressway, and they got the phone right in front of them, like this now. They got one hand on the wheel, and they got the phone like that, and they're looking, going back and forth, and it's like 70 miles an hour. So I'm kind of going behind them. I said, well, what's going on? I go to the left, and they're like this, like that, and I saw two or three of them, and this is the norm. It's like they can cause major, and it's like, yeah, you get angry. I mean, it's like that's how chaotic it is. But he says to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. Ephesians 4:29, this is a good one. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You got to remember something. Everything comes out of your mouth. People weigh on that. They hold on to that. They listen to that. You know, it says in James, the tongue's of fire. You know, you say the wrong thing, you can get killed. Right, Tom? Yeah, you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you know, you get killed. I mean, the tongue, he's right about that. Set your mind on the Lord and He will help you make good choices. Romans 8, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. You think about that. You've set your mind on the things of the flesh. But those who set their minds on the Spirit, live according to the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. For the wages of sin are, but the gift of God is. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? What does it lead to?
I don't know what we want. I know that.
How about something we all desire? How about something we all desire on a daily basis? Life and peace with the Creator. And that's what we can have. A couple more scriptures and I will close this up. Everybody's been good today. I thought I'd have to take it to 12:10 or something like that, but I have seen less Facebook look downs today, so we're going to end it early. So hang on a minute. Hey, at least you ain't doing this, because I was going to tell you what. I had two simple rules that the Facebook stuff, I'm going to take it to 12:10. If I see this, and you guys all know it. I've seen that too. I was going to take it to 12:15, but not today. Okay, look at this. Okay, and a couple encouraging passages, and I'm going to close up here. Encouraging passages. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. All things are possible with God. Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 3:14 says, press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 1:16. I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We're being renewed, man. He started a good work and he's going to bring it. You hear me? He's going to bring it to completion. In what day? The day of Jesus Christ. And at his appearing we will love. I like the last part. Keep our focus on the prize. Keep our focus on the prize. This life ends. This life ends. Our eternal prize. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Right? Amen? Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of church. We lift all these prayer requests up to you, Lord. We thank you for these doors being open. We thank you for the money that we have to pay the bills over here, Lord. We thank you for this kids club ministry on Wednesday nights, Lord. Please continue to bless that. Bless the ones that are hurting and sick right now. John Bierley, Jasmine and her kids, Ray and Bev, Jeff Carpenter, Laura Carpenter, we ask for prayer for. Helmut and Beata's kids and Beata's mother. Marion Wilkie's family. Dana's family. Mike's, DeBoer's brother. My brother. My unbelieving sister. Everybody, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, right now. Lord, thank you for this word of God, Lord, that we live by and we love. And bless our day now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We recorded you three ways.
Huh?
We recorded you three
ways. Oh, no, you did? Oh, okay. Hey, my mic.
Who is the Bible on the phone?
Who is? Oh, the Bible?
The Bible on the phone.
Oh, you do? I forgot that.
We're just looking at Facebook.
Oh, I know. It's just, hey.